Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap-Up. I'm Asia, and as always, I have my awesome co-host with me, Amy. Amy, how's it going?
Oh, sorry. I heard you, but I wasn't listening. Or maybe I was listening, but I didn't hear you. What was that?
Hey, you can't use the excuse that you're a man, so what's your excuse?
It's like, I'm a man. I can't say that. No, but, you know, like...
I feel like it's a cop out.
Yeah, but I'm just gonna say it anyway.
Right, like don't say it if you know it's gonna be a cop out. But Amy, I do have a question for you. Mm-hmm. If you were sitting under a tree and a bee came up and stung you, would you move?
Depends how good the book I was reading. You know.
Mm-hmm. I guess you're reading a book about this podcast.
Yeah, if the bee just is looping around, maybe I'd stay. Oh, that was a convoluted metaphor.
Right. Oh gosh, yeah, we just hit a 2-for-1. First reference was to Jose and just his inability to listen, and his explanation is because he's a man, and then we'll get into it, but Zach had this very elaborate metaphor about a bee and a tree. I literally had to pause because I was like, okay, there's no way I'm going to get this story straight if I don't like take notes, pause, take notes, pause. I was like, this is too much.
Okay, can you explain it to those that were... Maybe when we get to them, because I'm still lost.
Yes. Yes. Okay, cool. I think I got it. I think it made sense a little bit, but I could see the confusion on Michaela's end. Oh my gosh. But yes, we are here to talk about episode 9 of season 13 of Married at First Sight. If you're here and you've never listened to any episode before this, we talk about this show, this wild show called Married at First Sight, where 5 couples this season meet at the altar, they get married, and they go on an 8-week experiment of developing feelings for each other, getting to know each other. And at the end of those 8 weeks, they decide if they want to get married or get a divorce. And so this season has been pretty interesting so far. I feel like it had a slower start than last season, but I'm hooked. I think it's like, it's text worthy. Like when you're watching and you want to text your friends about it, it's at that point.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
It's really picked up.
Right. And also, before we get started, if you probably found this podcast over on Reality TV Wrap-Up, so definitely go leave us a 5-star rating. Let us know what you think. So then we could potentially shout you out on a future episode. So definitely take the time. If you enjoy this podcast, go out, leave us a 5-star review. And with that, we're going to jump right in. So this episode was all about building physical connections. And then Rachel and Jose threw everyone a barbecue at Jose's house. I had a feeling Jose's house was going to make an appearance, but I didn't anticipate it being this early.
This was the episode where I was like, is he the Jake of this season? He's got the big house and he always wants to talk about it. And he's got plans for his next house. So it's like his pride and joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. Slightly different relationship, but very similar to Jake and his love for his home. So there were a couple couples that were a little bit... that we didn't get as much content on this episode. So we're going to go ahead and start with them. So Brett and Ryan, let's just get them out of the way. Let's spare everybody and get them out of the way.
They were like a turn this episode. It was weird. I thought everything was fine. What's happening?
Right. It was almost to the point where they were so quiet and lacked so much content that you're like, okay, maybe things are going too well because there's not much to show. But now this finally painted the picture, because I never even, I never recognized it before Ryan verbalized what was going on this episode. So We see that she has tingly feelings for him. So she sets up this game of Jenga and she's like, okay, when you pull out a thing or when you pull out a block, then you'll pick a note from this. You'll pick a piece of paper. And on all of these pieces of paper, I've written down all the things I like about you. And so some of the things that he ended up picking were like, he's unapologetically himself. He is driven. He always holds her hand. He's not afraid to speak his mind. He's open-minded about this process. He has muscles. He's level-headed. And it's all very sweet things. And he's just like, thank you, thank you. And like, he's flattered. But then it's just like out of nowhere, he tells us that it's really frustrating not to be feeling those sparks at this point because I'm so used to falling in love so fast. And he's like, and I can't reciprocate anything she's saying. And because I don't want to build her up with words because I don't know where my head's at. What?
Yeah, it was so awkward to just watch him not respond to anything.
Yes.
It was rude. Like, I was just like, flat it's just out. Uncomfortable. Yeah. She spent all this time. It's almost like she caught the feelings now when he was like a little bit more like ahead of things in the honeymoon and was attracted to her and she was holding back, and now that like she's caught up, suddenly he's withdrawing. Like, maybe he doesn't like that she's like being effusive about it. I don't understand.
Right. It's like, so I know those things were happening back to back to back, where it's like, okay, she had a freak out on the plane. She had a freak out, or she didn't really want to do the kayaking. And she, according to him, overreacted when the dogs met and was high strung or whatever. So it's like, I think he's taking those things and it's actually affecting how he feels about her, which at this point, it looks like he has no feelings for her because.
Yeah.
Even a friend, like if a friend says like, oh, Amy, you look really pretty today, you probably would feel inclined to say, oh my gosh, you look great too, you know?
Yeah. Or even like a thank you. Like, I really appreciate you saying that. That's really thoughtful of you. It was just like, he was just sort of like, he just read them out loud and then moved on.
Yeah. Like, he was smiling, but it's like, okay, he always smiles. So, or he smiles in a lot of different situations. So I was really caught off guard by this, but it definitely explained why it seems like they have nothing to say. It's because he's not really feeling her at this point.
Yeah. Maybe it was like the high of the wedding or just like being hopeful that they would kick off more intimacy, but it's weird. Like, he's pouting that they haven't hooked up yet or something. That's like the feeling I'm getting.
Right. But it's not even like he's making that effort to do anything. Like, they were the only couple in this episode. We didn't get a date. Like, every other couple had some kind of date, like in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. Like, this Jenga thing was like an activity, but it wasn't a date.
Right. And that was just one of the things I got from like, the vibe I got from him before he was even matched was just like, it didn't seem like he thought he had to put any effort into this. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like he put effort into all those other dates he had.
Yeah.
He just was like, oh, I'm going to get a wife. And he just seemed like really content, you know, with having zero conversation at the reception and acting like they were talking all the time and not responding to her questions. So I think the warning signs were there and we're seeing it play out.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, okay, I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but it's like, I guess a comparison would be Johnny and Bao, where we know how Johnny feels, but he's still putting in the effort in one way or another. Like, he's still trying. And it just feels like even before this episode, it just felt like Ryan wasn't trying. And I was like, okay, maybe he doesn't have to try because things are going so well. But no, if you're feeling like this, it just seems like all hope is lost because the quote unquote spark is not there.
Yeah. That's a really immature way to look at relationships. Yeah. And
exactly.
One of those things there's that no they should have ruled out and when they were casting these people, because that's one of the things they always have to say is like, can you allow attraction to grow? Are you open to that? Mm-hmm. And so we know all these people are coming to casting like, oh yeah, I totally agree with that. I can do that. I really want to do that. And then they can't do it.
Yeah, exactly. So we got like one little mini scene where he was eating blueberries and then he like fed one to her dog. So he was like, yeah, dogs can eat blueberries. And I am only calling that out because my dog loves blueberries. So it's always fun to give her one because you think, oh, one blueberry is so soft, but it takes her a long time to eat.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah. And so let's see. They do. The experts also delivered some questions for them to ask. And the questions, like for all the couples, were like, have you ever been in love? What do you need in order to fall in love? Basically that. And so for them, they said they both been in love twice. But for him, he thinks he's been in love twice. And she does appropriately call out that, like, in order to fall in love, she's going to need some reciprocation. And she wants to know how he feels because she doesn't know how he feels. And he just doesn't think they're there yet, like, especially for love. He doesn't think they're there yet emotionally or physically. And he said it's always been his problem in relationships that in the past he's waited too long to get there. And then his girlfriends have run out of patience and then things have ended.
So what, like, what do they mean when he falls in love all the time then? Because that's exactly the clip we were shown. Does it just mean that that's not fall in love then? That's like he's just like gets the hots for someone, you know?
Exactly. That's total because opposite.
Otherwise, he would be the one to be saying, I love you first, if that's the
exactly.
case.
Like, I don't, I'm like, so I kind of, I don't know. I think what his sister was saying was the more accurate read, or like maybe not love, but he is all into the person. Like he's committed to that situation, doesn't have eyes anywhere else. He's not on the fence. He is at that point, knows he wants to be with that person. And he may have painted this picture saying that that was his problem because he wanted to make her feel better. Or maybe not wanted her to feel better, but not feel as bad about their situation. Because it kind of sounds like a cop out. Like, this is kind of how I always am. So for her, she can just keep waiting.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. So at the barbecue for them, so there was a point where all the couples kind of went off into their own direction, or different people went into different directions, but all of the couples were split up except for Mirla and Gil, which I thought was funny. They were in the same little private conversation.
Do you think that's why, like, do you think that's intentional, like, on Mirla's part? Like, she was not going to split up and didn't want him talking about her?
I don't know.
Like, she's so calculated in everything.
That, yeah, that's true. And she already said, like, you know, she is so introverted. She didn't want to be there in the first place. So I thought it could have been like they're not the most solid, but they have the least to talk about in terms of like things that aren't going well compared to the other couples.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know she likes the tea and wanted the tea from him. So maybe it's just like part of their dynamic too.
Yeah, because they could have killed two birds with one stone by going to two different conversations.
That's
now
true.
They have no idea what the other two conversations are happening.
Yeah, they could compare notes, but it was weird even just to me that I was, not that it was bad, but it was just like, usually you don't see like a mixed group. It's usually just the guys, girls, just the girls get together. Yeah. So I thought that was good to have some advice. And so like for some of the guys to see like, yeah, what's Ryan doing?
Right.
Kind of call him out a little bit.
Exactly.
So then they can bring it back to guys' night and sort of like maybe I feel like Gil would be pretty good about sort of bringing up the topic without calling out Ryan, you know, like, oh, because he has a similar, I mean, it's different in that he is attracted to his wife, but she's intentionally moving slowly. But, you know, they have to allow things to grow.
Right. Exactly. So to set the scene, the breakout couple or the breakout conversations, you had Michaela, Bao, and Rachel talking in one room at Jose's house. Then you had Zach, Johnny, and Ryan. And then in another room, you had Gil, Mirla, Brett, and Jose. And I would say the only thing that really came out of this barbecue for Brett and Ryan was because they were very quiet. Definitely got more content for the other couples. But Brett, she felt like the other couples had way more intimacy and communication. And they were like showing all the different couples holding their hands and stuff. And Brett and Ryan clearly had a very different dynamic in how they were sitting next to each other, but like someone literally could squeeze in between them and sit down.
His arm was just outstretched. It was right. Probably bad timing. Like,
yeah,
if you caught some of these other couples on a different day, it would not be like this was the day after. Yeah. Johnny and Bob consummated. So,
yeah. Yeah. And so, and then, oh, see, Brett also just flat out just said, like, she doesn't know how he feels, what he likes about her. Mm. And so, I mean, that's definitely due to Ryan's lack of communication, but he said he doesn't want to build her up with words. So I guess that includes giving him her compliments.
Which that could be her love language, too. So that's exactly not a good formula.
Yeah. I thought it was funny how he said to Zach and Johnny, he's like, yeah, we had to have a tough conversation. Like I had to get him to my past and like tell her I was feeling doubts. And I was like, I don't know if Brett thought that was like a quote unquote tough conversation.
No. So,
he definitely read that differently.
Yeah.
But, oh yeah. And then Ryan says he doesn't want just good enough. So. Mm-hmm. So that's them. I mean, nothing more. So where would you rate them on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being they're definitely getting divorced, mm-hmm. 5 being they're going to stay together?
I would rate them a 2 right now. Ooh. I don't like how they're going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like they're progressing well. And if he's feeling this weird doubt right now, mm-hmm. he just doesn't seem like the type to want to overcome it the way some of these other guys do.
Yeah. I will definitely agree on a 2 because it doesn't seem like he's taking steps towards making anything different. And so that tracks. I mean, they started off as a 2, started off as a 3 with us, went down to a 2. Last 2 episodes were okay, so they were a 3, but now back to a 2. So I don't have high hopes for them.
No. Not looking good.
Not at all.
Right. Did you watch Unfiltered this week?
I didn't. Did you?
No.
So. Okay.
No clues from that either.
Right. Yeah, because I think they said it was Johnny. No. Maybe Bao was on there. I can't remember who they said the 3 were on. Because I did look at the description. I was like, oh, that looks interesting. But I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet. But I do want to, because I feel like you do get little clues.
Mm-hmm. And just some backstory.
Yeah, exactly.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So next couple, which couple should we get into next?
Let's get into, we mentioned them before, Mirla and Gil.
Yes.
So first we started kind of talking about chocolate chip cookies, and she's calling Gil out for liking them so much. It wasn't just a honeymoon thing. He's eating them mm-hmm. every day, and I see nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's fun. I wonder if there's ever going to be an episode where she gives him, there's a really popular cookie place here, and it started in Austin, but we definitely have a few locations in Houston. It's called Tiff Treats, and I personally don't like chocolate, but I like their sugar and their snickerdoodle cookies, and I know all of my friends love their chocolate chip cookies. So Mirla, if you're listening, you should definitely go give Gil some chocolate chip cookies from Tiff Treats.
Yes. Had them on the counter and she could tell like they were being eaten. I don't know if those were her keto ones or not, but she was trying to advocate for those. And then they had a discussion about it's not a real cookie. I'll agree with her on that as well. But then she was really into the mac and cheese. So she's not all like, she has her indulgences as well.
Right.
But she decided to critique a foot massage that Gil was offering. Like this is their intimacy. He can touch her shoulder. He can touch her feet. So it looked like a good massage to me, but then in her like behind the scenes, it's like, I'll give that a 5.
Right.
She did at least like he says, what he likes about her is like, she will say that to his face too. Mm-hmm. She did say like, you can do better. You got to find the pressure points. So he just said, it's basically impossible to please her, but I'm not going to give up. Like he just feels like he hits the jackpot when he finds something that she likes.
Yeah. And the foot rub was all very playful.
Yeah.
So that's like, it's like if you were to write a transcript of all the thing that Mirla says, it can definitely be perceived as totally negative, but it's like their dynamic is what makes things better because he's such a good sport about everything. And it seems like they truly are genuinely creating this friendship that allows them to like be brutally honest, joke about these things. And so I really like they're probably one of my favorite dynamics between a couple.
Yeah, it's definitely fun to watch. And yeah, they found the right guy for her to be motivated by that rather than turned off by that.
Yeah. Like
her being so particular.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could easily see somebody else. So even if it's just not that they're turned off by that, but just that they want more maybe similarity of interest. You see that a lot with the couples. And he's okay with like, she has these certain things that she likes and I just have to give them to her, you know,
right.
It's not that we have to like these same things. But then it does come up a little later on with like the later scene when he starts getting worried that she just wants maybe a husband and isn't that particular about him.
Yeah.
And that it's maybe more for appearances, having the ring, like the sort of status, because they go out to a brunch place and kind of calls her out on wanting a certain drink, not because of what it tastes like, but just because the name has Chanel in the name.
Yeah, Chanel No. 6. And he was like, well, if it was knockoff No. 6, would you want it?
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah. And then she was like, she's admitted that she wouldn't have ordered it if it had a different name. So marketing works really well on her.
Right.
And then when he brings up his concern, she never really does anything to sort of like make him feel better about his concerns a lot of times. She just sort of like, she's pretty like holds her cards close and almost like doesn't want to give up that like vulnerability.
Yes, so even that's when exactly what it is.
Even when he says, like, you know, I'm worried about that with you, she could say, no, you don't need to worry about that. You know, she's just like, I just want you to have brunch with me, which is what he's worried about. Like, he just wants someone to go to brunch with and go have fancy brunches. And he didn't. Do you know where that place was? Like, he didn't.
Toulouse. I think it was. I think it's downtown, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to look it up right now because I do know where. Oh, no, it's not downtown at all. I've definitely seen it before. It's in this area called the Galleria area. Mm-hmm. So it's like West Houston. But it's in a really nice area. So
at some point, maybe the end of the season.
There's a tour over there.
At the end of the season, you can do like the Married at First Sight tour.
Right.
And just give your ratings.
I'll take over the RHAP Instagram and just go to the different spots. Yeah.
For like the 2%, they're like, I know what you're talking about.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. We also see when Mirla meets with Rachel, just kind of chatting about how things are going. And Rachel notices that she has this other like plastic ring on. She's like, oh, what's this ring? And Gil had gotten Mirla a ring for like going to the gym, so she's not like wrecking her other one, but just mm-hmm. like, which Rachel was like, oh, that's so cute, that's romantic. And she's like, it's not romantic. And Rachel kind of calls her out in her like interview, saying like, I think she just doesn't want to admit it, like I think mm-hmm. she knows it's romantic, and she's, for whatever reason, you know, it's just, I think, part of her personality that she likes to poke fun as well and like play up her persona.
Yeah. And I really liked Rachel calling it out, because it was like, okay, I can see that they're developing a friendship.
Yeah.
And I didn't peg Mirla to be one to get close to any of the other wives. Mm-hmm. So I really liked seeing that.
Yeah. And then I think maybe like the worst like line that Mirla said though was like before the get together, where she's just like, I don't do barbecues. I haven't been to one in 3 years, and yeah. I don't like going to people's houses. And she's like, I want to see people, so I'll go to this one, but I'm never coming back here. And she's right. friends with Rachel, and like in the middle of nowhere. So.
I know. It's like, okay, Pearland is kind of far, like that's where Jose's house is. Mm-hmm. It is kind of far for like things that are centrally located. But I was like, oh my gosh, does she not? That's part of her just like saying whatever's on her mind. I'm like, these people are going to watch this back. You know, you completely forgot that.
Right.
But one more thing on that conversation with Rachel is when Rachel came over, Mirla was alone with Hype, the dog. And she told Hype to go to his bed. And then she told Rachel, like, he's pretty chill. So I really thought it was subtle, but I loved it.
Yeah, a lot of it is maybe more for show too. Like, I think a lot of what Mirla, like her true feelings come out when she's not with Gil, like, or when there's somebody else, because like when his mom was there, that's when she said that he's so handsome, mm-hmm. you know, and then when it's just Rachel there, then she can admit like, oh, he's a good dog, you know, she can actually interact with him.
Right.
Anything else that you want to call out about them, or are you ready to give a rating?
Well, at the barbecue, let's see. At the barbecue, of course, Gil, you know, took the lead.
Oh, yeah. He likes to bring up these conversations.
Yeah. He referenced the conversation him and her had. Oh, yeah. Their answers to their questions. So they both have been in love. And he said he's on the route to falling in love, and she's more so in the camp of loving is a choice, because you choose to do it, you have to act on it. And so Gil brings up, he's like, how do y'all feel? Do y'all think falling in love is like falling in love, or do you think it's a choice? And so that kind of got the conversation going about love and stuff. But they tell the other couples that they haven't kissed still. And I loved how Gil said it, like Michaela asked, and Gil's like, well, short answer, no, but long answer, no.
Yeah.
So that was
funny.
Yeah. But yeah, and Gil, they playfully said like Mirla's just giving him a little shoulder action. I genuinely laughed when Mirla's like, yeah, he's getting a little shoulder action. And Rachel's like, wow, get a room. Because it's like nothing.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think that was pretty much it. There was nothing else
no big issues with them
from their relationship. Yeah,
but not a huge progression in terms of right. like, is she gonna kiss him? And then it looks like for next week he's still sticking. It seems like she's maybe gonna put up a like pushback about like him saying he wants a divorce if they don't kiss by that point. So if he has the ultimatum.
Yeah. Which is totally fair of him to say, mm-hmm. because what if they kiss and realize they have no physical chemistry?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I forgot to say that for Brett and Ryan. Brett is going to be crying next week and saying like, there's just something's not there.
Mm-hmm.
She looks like she's kind of at her breaking point in terms of like figuring out where they're going. So mm-hmm. that's another thing to stay on the lookout for.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for Gil and Mirla, I think she genuinely likes him. I think she does. I think that she does have this huge guard up right now. And so that's not helping. And like you said, she's not doing anything to reassure Gil about how she feels. I wonder, is she ever going to get there? I think that it's going to take them having more in-depth conversations rather than like the joking ones to really start to open up. And maybe it'll help. There's an expert there next week. Is it Dr. Viviana?
Yes. It looked like okay. It was her.
I think that might help because, you know, she's going to be shocked they haven't kissed. Like she's going to be on them about it.
She's going to have her chat with Mirla, I think.
Yes. So because of that, I think that some
intervention. I don't think Mirla's going to change anything. I think Mirla's
she's very stubborn. Yeah. Yes. So I'll probably go with a 3 for this week.
Okay. I don't think they gave us enough hope. And Gil is starting to have a little more doubt. So I think 3 is good for me as well.
Okay. Yeah. It's the doubt for Gil. That's kind of has me a little concerned. Yeah,
his patience is wearing a little thin. He needs to see a little more progression than just a shoulder, I think.
Right. Because we're at a day out of, I wrote it down at during someone's.
I think there's only 5 weeks 17? Left, they said. So yeah. What does that mean?
Time is winding down. 3 weeks in? Yeah. 3 weeks, I believe.
Okay. Who would you like to cover next?
So I would like to cover the hosts, the hostesses with the mostesses of this episode, Rachel and Jose. So Rachel, when she did visit Mirla, she did say that, you know, she was waiting to see what a couple of friends who came to the housewarming party, how they felt about Jose because they didn't come to the wedding. And she said all she did was get reassurance because they thought he was great. So she feels like they're in a really great spot. So that was kind of the opposite of what I thought. I thought that they were going to be like, why did this man bring out a whiteboard? But they said he was great.
Yeah.
So. I mean, he is kind of just like a personality that's kind of life of the party. So I can imagine he could make a good first impression.
This had me like totally seeing them on Couples Cam. Like he's just like made for Couples Cam. It's just like, here's what I'm going to do. Like mm-hmm. I've got these coasters to make. I've got this cool activity, you know, like he's just like ready to go. Like, what have you always wanted, wifey, you know, your whole life you've dreamed of mm-hmm. coasters.
Exactly. they did go do goat yoga. So
did that you know was, this location?
I didn't. Okay, no.
Now we got to see this on the Instagram.
Right. My list is going to be so long by the end of the season.
There's some other podcasters by you, right? That you can do an excursion.
Mm-hmm. Chappelle, Jacob Jones.
Oh, this content writes itself.
right. Yeah, can you imagine Chappelle and Jacob Jones doing goat yoga with
just
me?
Just make sure you call ahead. I specifically request only baby goats.
Only babies. 2 weeks and younger.
Yeah.
2 weeks old. So that's what Rachel did. I thought that was hilarious because they were so adorable. Oh my gosh. I had no desire to see a 2-week-old baby goat until now. Seeing them all together is like the most precious thing.
So cute.
They did yoga. The baby goats were on their back and jumping from Rachel to Jose, and they were like cuddling with the goats, and Rachel's getting dad vibes. And she said her heart was melting just seeing him with the goats, and so they had a really good date. It was a solid date.
Yeah, I mean, why didn't we see it? It's just making me even more like, why didn't we see anything with Brett Ryan? Was it just the Jenga thing was their date?
Right.
Everyone else put a lot more effort. And she did the whole thing.
So, yeah, she planned it. Mm-hmm.
Ryan did not do the homework.
I mean, all the wives planned the dates. Mirla planned Toulouse. Uh-huh. Michaela planned the chef.
Yeah.
No, did she? Or did Zach?
I don't know.
No, I think Zach did actually.
Okay.
And then you had Bao planning the bar and games.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm like, why did, maybe that was them. Because Brett did plan the Jenga. So maybe that's just what she planned. I don't know. So Rachel and Jose did go through the questions, and she said, in order for him to fall in love, she needs him to listen more. And then that's when he gave his whole spiel about, oh, yeah, as a guy, you know, maybe I want to talk more, and I just have trouble, you know, listening. I might hear you, but I'm not listening. And so they're having this whole conversation. And then she's like, okay, well, what do you think, you know, we need to do? And he's like, well, I think we just need to keep doing what we're doing. And she's just like, what? there's some things that need to change. Mm-hmm. they're having some communication issues. And his whole solution is, why don't you just tell me everything twice? Since I was like, I don't listen, just tell me everything twice.
Yeah.
But no, that's not the solution for any man.
Not what we remember him promising his stepmom, you know, because they all called him out about this before. Plus, they found someone who she's like, I love that about you. Like, talk as much as you want. I will never be mad about it. And he's like, let me get that in writing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just hold up the, you know, 25% or 10% of the deal that she's asking for.
Exactly. Yeah. So we find out that, like, she's been in love before and he's never been in love before. He said it was a strong like. He was with this woman for 4 years, but couldn't get past the fact that she had kids. And so naturally, Rachel is shocked that Jose never in love with her.
That's terrible. Like, four years, that's a long, like, I don't know how old these kids were, but that's a long time for them to get attached. And yeah, very shallow on his part. Like, it's one thing, like, if that's a deal breaker for you, then don't enter into that relationship. So it just seemed very like leading her on.
Yeah, and exactly.
Like, let's not even say that he had feelings.
Right.
Strong, like
4 years of the person. And that's what you have. Strong, like,
yeah,
that was put up a little, not a red flag, but just like it put Rachel's just like, okay. Because she even brings it up later when he does the Scrabble coaster ideas. So his idea is to get coasters and then put Scrabble pieces where they're like spelling out stuff like hubby and wifey. And like you mentioned earlier, and which is that a great idea? Because unless you're spelling a word that goes across the entire coaster, isn't it like going to be uneven for your drink to be on?
Yeah. I mean, it depends how smooth their gluing was, or what, like, was this a specific kit that has like a thing that goes over it? Or is this just something he came up with from Pinterest?
I think the latter. I could totally see him doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she brings it up. She's like, okay, so you weren't in love. So is there anything, like, she's like, that kind of shocked me. So is there anything I've ever said that, like, that you've questioned? He's like, yes, the catamaran and on the honeymoon. I'm like, dude, this has been on your mind. Like, it's as if like he's been sitting on this and he's been waiting for the perfect opportunity to bring it up.
Yeah.
Is what he's referring to. She's like, the cheating.
Right. She's like, I thought, well, he's not bringing it up, so whatever. And he's like, I'm bringing it up now.
Yeah. I was like, that's literally like a pet peeve of mine. Like, don't be mad about something and then bring it up weeks later. Like, no, you've lost the privilege to be mad about it now because you didn't step up and speak about it.
Yeah, very weird. I mean, maybe you didn't want to bring things down on the honeymoon, but at least say, like, can we put a pin in this? Like,
yeah,
I would like to hear more. Like, I don't want to talk about it now. Like, we're on our honeymoon. But and she did, like, explain it then, too, that she was just very young. So they probably could have just brushed it off then and it wouldn't have been festering.
Yeah. So she explained it to him. 8-year relationship.
And it was that stupid, I did it again with the preview, like,
yes.
I ran into someone I knew from my past and it happened. She was telling him about the cheating in the past, not something that, and we knew it, but still, like, I hate when they do that. Mm-hmm.
They love to do that to us.
So, like, next week when it's like, she's saying, I don't love him anymore, like, that's probably talking about that same relationship.
Yeah. I'm like, you're not going to fool me again. But yeah, the cheating was her 8-year relationship, happened year two. She went out with her girlfriends, ran into someone from her past, and then it happened. And he forgave her, and they went on to be together for 6 more years. And even in that conversation, like, we all heard her say that. And then Jose was like, asked like, okay, so did y'all, basically asking if things ended. And she's like, no, we were together for 8 years. Like, why is she having to repeat herself when you already promised to listen?
Yeah,
that's
true. Like, she said it was in year two of eight. And then.
Yeah.
So that we caught it and exactly. We weren't right there in person.
Exactly. And so she's just like, you know, basically what I learned from that is like, I'm not going to put myself in a position to make something like that happen again. And Jose tells her, well, my brother always says, if you go to a barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. So that's his analogy. Like, you basically keep playing with fire, you're going to get burned.
That's a strange analogy, though. It's like,
right?
I guess like some people go to the barbershop just to hang out, but
yeah,
I don't know. I maybe would pick something else, like go to like pick somewhere negative and like have like a more negative like consequence, because especially after COVID times, it's like, I want that haircut.
Yeah, like, okay, maybe like you keep sticking your finger in the beehive, you're gonna get stung.
Beehive, this is where we needed the beehive. Exactly. You go to the swamp every so often, you know, sooner or later you're gonna like fall in mud, or you know, at least do something like that.
At a barbershop, like, yeah, that's where I want to get haircut. And he tells us, once a cheater, always a cheater. He's like, so if she ever cheated on me, I'm done. And so I'm like, okay, now he kind of has this view of her that she's just a cheater. And he tells her, okay, well, how do I trust you? Or like, how am I supposed to trust you going out, you know, on girls' nights? Like, what am I supposed to do? How do I know you're not going to do anything? She's like, well, you're just going to have to trust me. Period. So I think that might be, I don't know. I have a feeling that's not the last we'll see of that. Yeah. Which, does that kind of remind you of Eric and Virginia?
A little bit, where it's like we see these problems, but then they're just like so lovey-dovey. Yeah. They have similar like kind of worries about like, is this going to be just his house and his plans?
Yeah, exactly.
So, that could be interesting.
And they're going through their... they're going through their divorce on Couples Cam actually right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how they're promoting the previews, is with the saying like, oh, the developing divorce.
Wow.
So I need to watch it. I keep up with like real time what's happening, like social media and stuff.
I wonder what's going to happen. Like if there is like there's those rumors of Ben and Amelia, and they have like been totally absent on Couples Cam from what I've been able to see.
Yeah, it's so hard to know even because of her work schedule. Like I'm sure she's super busy, but so let's see. So they do have the barbecue. They host the barbecue. You know, Jose, I feel like he did a great job. He cooked everything. They were like preparing in the kitchen, and Rachel's like, I can really see myself here living here in the future. Of course, they were being like physically affectionate, like, you know, hands on each other like they always do. But I think the only thing that we learned about their relationship, Rachel said Jose talks a lot. at one point, the couples were like guessing who they think, which individual will say, I love you first. And a couple of people guessed Jose or Rachel. And then we ended their last segment that we had for them. Rachel started the scene and she's just like, well, it's really awkward this morning because last night we were watching TV and then I told him I love him and then he didn't say it back. So it's really awkward this morning. And then she says, just kidding. He said it back.
Another sign that like Couples Cam is going to sign them up so fast. They love, they love this kind of thing. But we do not. We don't need this.
I was like, Rachel, what? Why did you do that?
Yeah. They didn't even use that in the preview, so joke's on you.
Right. I know. That would have been perfect.
Yeah. We liked the content more when it was like, speaking of Ben and Amelia, when it was like, oh, he just said I love you. You know, like, it was so cute. Like, it was like kind of in the real time, even though they don't, they keep it private, but then we see their reaction to it.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, were you surprised they said it?
No. Now that we know that they had progressed with intimacy a lot sooner than they were letting us believe at first. So, yeah. And then maybe it was like the competitive nature of that little chat.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, what? Johnny and Bao? Like, nope, I'm going to win this bet. Like,
right. Yeah.
I don't know what the stakes were, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many people guess Johnny would be the first to say, I love you. So yeah. That's it for Rachel and Jose. Where would you rate them?
I'm going to give them a 4 this week. I like seeing them as hosts and him thinking of fun things to do, her thinking of fun things to do. They seem like a good balance on that side of things. At least he's aware that he needs to listen, but is he going to? I don't think he can change his spots, so we'll see. But I think things are looking good, especially with that false preview. Nothing bad went down this week, and I don't think anything bad will go down next week. I think it's a red herring.
Same. And I'm also going to agree on a 4. Do I think that, well, actually, there was something in the preview that kind of was alarming. So they, you know, even though she did say like, okay, I don't love him anymore. And she was doing the smashing thing. Okay. I don't think that's about Jose, but you do get a confessional from Jose saying she just called me by another man's name.
Oh, that's true.
So that was a little like, okay, how do you edit around that? You know, that might be true.
Does she have a brother? Like, I'm just like, yeah. Who could it have been? Like,
right. I don't know.
Was she asleep? Yeah.
Right. He didn't seem too happy.
No.
I think if this does.
I just figured it out. That's what she was saying. So maybe like in an intimate moment, she accidentally said another guy's name. And then she's telling the girls about it. And she was saying like, I don't love him anymore. Like I tried to tell Jose, I don't love him anymore. It just slipped out.
That's got to be it. There we go.
So she's venting about that. And yeah, I think just in time for Dr. Viviana to arrive, they can chat about that.
Just in time. Yeah, I'll agree a 4. I think if they end up going down, I think it may be fault of Jose because he calls out the toothpaste thing again. He can't let that go. He called it out to her this time. He's like, yeah, it's all your toothpaste. Like, you don't pull from the bottom. You just, like, squeeze anywhere. He's like, it's not that hard. I'm like, that's such a picky thing to be calling out. Mm-hmm. It's so irrelevant. I think he's just so, hey, this is how I picture things to be, and this is how I want them to be, and I want her to fit into that. I mean, because that was also all wrapped up into that story about his ex. Like, he's like, I want everything my own, which is why he had a problem with her already having kids. So I'm like, I think he may get a little too stuck on his little view of how he wants things to be or how he always thought that they would be. So that's my prediction, is that if they go down, it's going to be because of him.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, who knows? Makes sense.
So who do you want to go to next?
Let's talk about Johnny and Bao. Cause I thinking about how everyone was voting for them. Mm-hmm. It really makes me think that they do a really good job of keeping any of their issues hidden and look like the perfect couple to everyone else. But yeah, they have definitely had some developments this week. So starting out, it was kind of like, was this when they had just some kind of meal at the house? And
yeah, she cooked some it actually looked delicious.
So she was really she's salmon. Really trying to impress him and do these certain things, and it's really important to her that he likes for cooking, that she knows, like, even though he would eat dog food, I want him to know that I can do this. So apparently he's not a picky eater, but she just wants to, like, prove, you know, it's like she wanted somebody that was a picky eater, I think, so that they could appreciate that she's a cook. But he did appreciate it. But then their conversation, like, kind of turned negative right away. I can't remember what set that off, but it was like, it should have been like a great night. And then they just started focusing again on some of their issues. So
I think it was when she, it was because she brought up like, okay, so the other night you said you were having doubts.
Oh yeah. She brought up the conversation.
Yeah.
So are you still feeling these doubts? And
yeah.
And then he's like, well, I just like to be open about saying like, this is where in a non like married at first sight situation, this is where I would end things. And she's like, well, that makes me feel like shit. Like,
yeah.
Or does that make me feel good? F no.
And it's like, so tell
them now. Yeah, they can get derailed really easily.
Snap of a finger.
Yeah.
Like if you had gotten up and gone to the kitchen to get something to drink and came back, it was like a completely different scene.
Yeah. Cause so I'm just confused because I'm like, wait, then how did they get back around? Because then they were fine again.
Yeah. And it was so funny because he's like, well, do you know my heart? And she's like, no, I can just tell when you're deflated. And he's just like, oh. And she's like, well, anytime I ask you about how you're feeling, you get hot-headed. And he keeps trying to say, well, why don't you ask me? Why does he not realize he also needs to speak up about how he feels? Like, that's not the only situation you tell someone how you feel is when you're prompted. You also should be mature enough to voice how you feel voluntarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So, tough conversation.
Mm-hmm. And then, in lighter conversations, somehow they bring up the topic. Was this one of the experts like giving them things to ask? Maybe that's what brought them around. Like it seemed like experts had sent questions to certain of these couples or like a little activity. Maybe they even sent the coasters to Jose. Who knows? But Bao asked Johnny how he learned about the birds and the bees. And he said it was from hentai. And she just like has this like gasps, laughs, and is just like shocked. But then we find out that she like thinks it's adorable. And I think that like turned things around. So we hear a producer asking what that is, and he says it's cartoon porn. And she's just like, oh, that was so dorky. I love that hentai. And like, and she's like, is maybe hentai will like speed things along in the bedroom?
Yeah, she's like, maybe we should watch that.
But I honestly think like that's what turned things around for her, for them. Mm-hmm. Like it was like something they could laugh about related to sex. And then it was like game on from there. And they were like, oh, got to take these mics off, headed to the bedroom. And yeah, they consummate their marriage. We see them the next day. Like she's planning like a game night for him. Mm-hmm. So she's like putting all this effort out.
She like lined up all those beers.
Yeah, cooked for him. And now she's doing at home game night with beer, like 8 or 10 pint glasses full. Like we're not just talking flights here. It's like full size. Then fried chicken and darts. So he said those are 3 for 3 of his favorite things. And then we kind of see him do a side comment like, well, did you have fun last night too? And she's like, yeah. And then they're like, oh, we may or may not have. And you know, it's like, obviously.
And he's like, oh no, we definitely, we did.
Yeah. So what did you think about this progression for them?
I thought it was definitely something they needed, because like I've been saying past few episodes, like he's getting in his own way and he keeps thinking like, okay, well, maybe these questions, so like, maybe I'm not attracted to her because of this and this and this. And so I think this helped him see her in a different light. So that doesn't even have to be an issue, and he can stop being so in his head about like maybe why they never even dated in the first place because of his attraction for her. Because it seems like he really enjoyed it. She really enjoyed it. And so I felt like that was a step in the right direction so that the issues they do have don't have to be related to attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it helped them move past, like, especially with her Johnny, some hurdles that he was maybe just putting up these roadblocks that they didn't really, he was just in his head too much. And mm-hmm. I think he was worried, like, oh, I'm not attracted, or like, this turns me off. And so I think just being mm-hmm. able to be like, no, I am attracted to her and we do have chemistry.
Yeah.
Was good for them. So, but will they be the next to say, I love you? I don't, he said he's not likely to say, doesn't say it easily, not quick to say
right.
it. So I think they're putting up, like, the other couples think, like, definitely they are, but
yeah.
Let's see. What else from
at the barbecue?
I don't know that much stood out to me.
Yeah. Besides them all saying, like, oh, Johnny, I think the only thing that came out of it was Johnny saying, like, what he keeps thinking is, okay, I've been dating, I haven't settled up to this point, so why should I settle now? Which is just totally the opposite mindset that he needs to be having at this point, because he's like looking at it as, oh, she doesn't have a couple of things that I like, then I'm settling, rather than embracing the good. Because what him and Zach and Ryan are talking about were like, okay, 97% could be good and there's 3% that are bad, and I'm going to focus on the 3%. Mm-hmm. And that's why Johnny is getting in his own way. So I just think he needs to put more emphasis on the positive and the good times that they have. So that way, when they do have their lows and they do have the bad times, it's not as heavy, or they can resolve it more quickly. And he doesn't have to dwell, because he can remember, like, we have such a foundation. I don't have to dwell on the 3%. So mm-hmm. that was kind of the main thing out of the barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just excited to see. Oh, they did have another date too, where yes. I don't know who planned that one.
He did.
Okay, so he did that one.
It was a makeup for the art exhibit that he yes. had joined her at yes. all those years ago.
I'm actually surprised that it wasn't Bao that thought of that. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
She's probably going to say, well, you didn't take me to the museum, so it's not. Yeah. But yeah, that explains why he was getting a little more seemingly upset that she was so particular about her painting. But it was one of those paint, mm-hmm. like, not paint by number, but like, guided paint sets, or yeah, you know, you might yeah. typically do at a bar, like wine and paint night. So you're not supposed to have the perfect painting, but of course, it has to be perfect. But it looked good to me. It was cute. It was like there are two pictures that go together. So
yeah, he's like, speech. It felt so task oriented. There's yeah. no tension being built. Like, what movies have you been watching? Like.
Yeah, those kind of things look fantasy. Way more romantic than, but really you go to one of those things for a date night and it's just like, yeah, I went to one where it was like trying to paint our pet. And so like you want mm-hmm. it to look perfect. So you're not going to yeah. be like, oh, let's just like spill some wine. And
yeah,
it's like, no, we got to put some effort into this. So this was like a painting that kind of had their initials in the sand, maybe reminded them of their honeymoon. So yeah, you want to get it perfect. I don't think she was overreacting. Like, she was just kind of joking, like, just ignore that one spot. And, you know, yeah. almost talking to herself. It wasn't like she was melting down about it or giving up on it. Like, remember that one couple, was it Dave and Amber, where he was just getting so upset about sweating while he was dancing that he just like wouldn't even participate? Like, she didn't do that.
Well, wasn't that even last season, Brianna and Vincent?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, he too. Didn't like that. He's getting annoyed.
Yeah. So, I think maybe it was just a letdown. Like, he just had visions in his head that this was going to be like, they're going to be making out, painting, getting paint on each other
getting
or something.
Paint everywhere. Yeah.
So he's like, oh, she's back to being Bao. It's like, yeah, she's Bao.
Yeah. Like, that's what, yes. I think the fact that he knows, okay, this is a characteristic of Bao, he needs to be embracing it, rather than like, that's a knock because I don't like that trait. That trait annoys me and I'm going to associate it with her whole personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I mean, it was like the thought was cute to make up for that, especially because she keeps bringing it up that's when he ghosted her. I think he just needs to lighten up a bit. And I know he sees it as Bao needs to lighten up a bit, but he's the one that was getting progressively more annoyed. And Bao was having a great time. She just wanted to get the painting right.
Right.
So props to him for planning the date, I will say.
Definitely.
Yes.
So where would you rate Johnny and Bao?
Let me think. Did we get anything from the preview for them? I don't think we did get anything for them really on the preview. Not that I can recall or that I noted. So I'm going to go a 4.
Yeah. I'm trying to think from the preview. Nothing's standing out to me. So yeah, I'm feeling better about them again. So can't quite do the 5. I'm going to agree with you on the 4 for them.
Okay, nice. Yeah, because the lights like the 5, no, because there's still those little issues they need to work out before, because they are in a good place. They made some progress in their relationship this episode for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So it just leaves us one more couple.
Yes, last but certainly not least.
Roller coaster couples.
Right. Oh, I did want to point out with this kind of like a cross of couples, but Bao referred to Rachel and Jose as Rosé.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Like, that was so exciting. She's like, I like to call them Rosé. Like, they're so annoying.
Yeah.
At first, I'm like, wait, does she hate it? Does she love it? She's like, I love them. You know,
but yeah.
She was so serious about it. I think it's like a love-hate relationship. Like, nobody wants to see that much PDA, but I think she's close with Rachel. And so she's like, well, yeah, they're cute together, but.
Yeah. And I would like to say, if you listen to our episode 8, we called them Rosé first. Mm-hmm. Well, technically timeline, Bao called them Rosé first. But
right. But ahead of the show. We were ahead of the show.
Yes. So yes, Michaela and Zach, these two. So last episode, we ended with Zach storming out because he just could not be in the apartment with Michaela. And so this episode, it's him coming back. They haven't seen each other since the housewarming. And Zach says, like, anytime they have a problem, Michaela tends to blow up. Like, first of all, y'all have been in each other's face probably 2 weeks at this point. And y'all have 3 arguments you can reference. Don't say any time. Because it's just like, he acts like they've just been having fights back to back to back. It'd be different if it was like Johnny and Bao, who have had multiple disagreements at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I think it's still a very low number, but whatever. So he did say, we find out that after he left the housewarming, he called Michaela. She didn't answer. And she texted him back to say, hey, you can text me at this number. I prefer that you text me and don't call me anymore. And so he was very frustrated by her saying that. And so he's just like, he tells her, he's like, okay, when I think about our relationship, it's like me, I have a book about my married at first sight experience. I'm sitting under a tree. I'm trying to read this book. And then I get to, or he's like, I'm reading a book about my life. And so then I get to the chapter about married at first sight. I'm trying to read it. A bee comes along and then I like swat it away. It goes away. And then I wonder if I should leave the tree, but no, I really want to read about my married at first sight experience. And so then a second bee comes along. I do the same thing. It goes away. I'm still wanting to read. And then a third bee comes and it stings me. And so he's like, the bee is how you handle conflict. So basically,
it's what all he's your fault.
Yes. Basically saying, like, he's just trying to have this married at first sight experience with her. But because of how she handles conflict, basically saying the way she handles conflict should be a red flag for him. It's so not, he should leave.
It's not me, it's you.
Yeah, exactly. That he is totally in the right about the situation. To be frank, or to be fair, I believe they're both terrible at communicating. That's evident.
Mm-hmm.
I believe neither one is in the right here. I don't think it's fair for either one to blame the other solely about the predicament they're in. Mm-hmm. Can Michaela handle the way she responds to things better? Absolutely. Can Zach change the way he handles situations? Absolutely. He very much so shuts down and then just is flight, leaves. He's left now a couple of times. And so, and he gets so worked up rather than like, okay, this is the problem.
So they both do it because she like left the apartment.
Exactly. It's like, I always hear this like advice, like about relationships and stuff. People say like, it's not me versus you. It's us versus the problem, which is not how either one of them are looking at this. Because she tells him like, okay, every situation, or she tells us in a confessional, every situation, he's been the one to cause it. She's like, you're talking about like where the bee is, where's the hive? Where she's, now the metaphor has gone too far at this point. Mm-hmm. The hive in this situation is the origination of the issue. Mm-hmm. Like she's saying, oh, when she got mad about him leaving the apartment, the problem was that he left the apartment in the morning without communicating to her. Or the when she was mad about, I can't even remember what she's been mad about at this point. It's always, she's basically saying it's always because of him. And she tells him, like, this is a new relationship. We don't know each other. He's like, no, it's bigger than that. Like, it's a fundamental difference about how we handle conflict. And I don't know if I can ever get over that. And he's, and then he says all this and he's like, do you have any comments, questions, or concerns about how I feel? It's like, what? I honestly don't know what he wants from her at this point, because it's there. He's right that they do handle conflict differently. Mm-hmm. In terms of like, she's a little bit more combative than he is. And I think that he's looking at it as if she can say something or do something to make him feel better in the moment. But I'm like, can't she?
Yeah. I don't know. I think they're so like reactive. I don't know that. Like, I agree that they don't communicate well, and they seem to agree on that.
Yes.
And I think where they differ is like, he is thinking it's can't get over it. And she's thinking like, oh, I also don't like it and want to work on it. So
yeah,
they are disagreeing on that as well. So he seems so fixated. Like, this is the one thing I didn't want, and this is what I got.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I'm like, when you're frustrated, what, like you saying, do you have any comments, questions, or concern about how I feel? Like, because he obviously feels like she doesn't understand how he feels and he's trying to communicate it. But I don't know, maybe he wants her to ask more questions or just tell him, okay, it's completely my fault. I was in the wrong. You did everything you could. Like, I don't know, but, because she's admitting to not handling things great. Mm-hmm. Or that she wants it to work. So I'm like, I'm very torn and confused about what he wants. So they have another conversation. He says, like, he wants this to work. So this is very disheartening. Well, this is the same conversation. They rarely do a commercial break in between conversations, but they did this time. She says she agrees with him that, you know, she wants this to work. And he's like, are you sure? And so he doesn't know what he's doing wrong. He's like, what can I be doing differently? Like, what can I be doing differently? And she's like, talk to me. And so, you know, he asked her if she wants to get back to where they were. And, you know, he said like, he's going to do some self-reflection. And she said, yes, she does want to get back to where they were. And it depends on like what happens moving forward. And he said he's going to do some self-reflection, communicate more, and do what he needs to do to make her want to make it work. And so she said what she's going to do is she'll start thinking before she verbalizes what she needs. She'll hear him out and she makes sure she's understanding what he's saying. And he said, do you promise? And she said, yes. So there we had a promise. So
yeah, you can promise. But again, it's like with Jose listening, can you really change the, like, your default reactions without, you know, serious, like, work on that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think they genuinely, like, the attraction is there. That no, there's no denying that. But I do think that they need some help in the communication department. And that one session with Pastor Cal is not enough. I think they need some steady work on their communication because they are very strong-headed people. So I think they just need to understand that they don't need to be against each other, which is what it always turns into.
Mm-hmm.
So they do go on a date to the, I think it's called the Amelie. It's only 8 minutes from my house. It looked pretty cool, like an outdoor, indoor type bar situation.
Yeah, that's another place you need to go.
Yeah. On my list.
Yeah, it looked really nice, and they both like thought it was great. So it was nice to see them doing better, like just kind of getting out of their head.
Right. Having a more positive conversation.
Because it does stress me out to watch them fight. I don't know. It's like triggering to me. And for him like, to just repeat the same thing that he said last week, and then he tells it to the guys.
Mm-hmm. It's like, y'all don't have to be doing this. Like, y'all are in okay place. You just need to listen to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need they do these activities about communication and physical intimacy. Need to do it about listening.
Yeah. Do one of those survivor challenges where it's like you have to get the whole group together and they have to like have one person be the caller.
Right. That would be so fun. We have plenty of parks here in Houston. They could have done that at
Trust Falls, and that's what they should do instead of like the Airbnb in a cabin somewhere. Just
Put
them on some
middle
retreat.
Of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Yes. So they do those questions. Well, kind of in a form, they do those questions. So she's been in love, neither one has been in love before. But she's had two situations previously where she thought that she could have been in love if they hadn't like moved to a different state. And he said, well, I don't think I could have ever been in love with any of my exes because I already had an idea of what my wife wanted my wife to be like. And so he gives us the list. She's like, well, what is it? And he said he has to be attracted to her, ambitious, intelligent, adaptable, trustworthy, honest, loyal, and mature in how she handles conflict resolution.
Yeah.
What do you think about the list?
You know, when I liked how they treated it in the episode with all the like overlay and her like getting a little dizzy listening to it.
Yeah.
A lot of the things were maybe similar. So it was just him rambling a little bit. Like they weren't too outrageous. It wasn't like Jose with the 232 things. So It wasn't as alarming as like sort of the way they treated it to be. But
That's true. And I didn't think it was totally unreasonable, actually. I mean, I feel like that's what anyone is looking in their partner for.
Yeah. Yeah. He just didn't say it in a succinct way.
Yeah, yeah. I think Michaela did think it was a tough list, though.
She's like, wait, I line up with all these?
Right. Yeah. So she said they talk about like the falling in love question. Like, what do they need to start falling in love? And she said like a couple of weeks ago, she was starting to fall in love. But now she's guarded because of the last few days, which is.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, fair.
It's fair, but again, like I think using love, like they're doing that love at first sight thing, which is not like regular love. So it's like, it was like before I knew this person at all, it was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
We're in love without, that's, you know, not a recipe for success.
Like, right.
And we see that all the time with these couples that hit it off so well that they flame out more likely. So Brianna and Vincent, I think, were like the exception.
Yeah, exactly. He did do that thing, though, that he's done in the past where he asks a question he knows the answer to. Because, you know, she said, well, I was starting to fall in love a couple weeks ago. And then he was like, well, what about now? She was like, well, right now I'm guarded. And he's like, why are you guarded? And she's like, because of the last few days.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would you, why are you asking it? Like, it's like, I can't even remember the last situation that happened, but he was asking questions he definitely knew the answer to because they showed reaction.
That really annoyed me the last time when it was just
So I'm like, if he continues to do that, it's going to annoy me. I don't know about Michaela, but it'll annoy me. He does say he doesn't know if he's beginning to fall in love, because he said when he loses interest, it's gone. And so he's like, you know, I don't want to get there, basically.
Yeah, but he's trying to push her away. It's like he's prepping her for the disappointment that it's like, oh, I'm not ready for marriage. Kind of like what Johnny was doing, like this whole time, where it's just like, this is when I'm out. This is what, you know.
Yeah.
I might not be able to get there.
Right. Exactly. But he did like that they are getting back on the right track. He liked the date because it finally ended on a positive note.
Yeah.
Let me see at the barbecue. You know, they don't really share much about their relationship, especially Michaela, in public settings, because this was the first time that like all 8 or all 10 people have been there for a group activity, because either someone is missing at some point. Michaela was telling Bao and Rachel that like they had so much intensity at the beginning because they're so attracted to each other. But then she realized they have that same intensity when they hit their lows. So it's been a challenge. So she said a lot by saying a little.
Because they really need to catch up with them.
Yeah, yeah. And so Zach, he said he told Johnny and Ryan that like the one thing for him have been the blow ups, which has been his main concern. But I think that was pretty much. Do you remember anything else with them at the barbecue?
Not really. I think people are just excited to see them, but I think they're also kind of behind kind of in the group dynamic. Like he's the younger one as well with the guys. That I think because they missed out on the honeymoon, I think they're just not quite at the same like trust level, or like, you know, maybe not like meeting up one-on-one like Mirla and Rachel are. Like, I'm kind of curious about how the friendships are developing with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I did like the piece when Jose was talking to Mirla, Gil, and Brett, and he was kept talking. And like Brett was looking like, all right, let's wrap this up. It's like, this man probably talks so much.
Yeah.
But Rachel doesn't mind it, so that's good. Just as long as he listens. Let's see. The last thing that Michaela and Zach did was a Zoom cooking class. And so they're it was Zach who planned it, because he came home with the groceries and he said, okay, we're cooking shrimp scampi over Zoom with a chef. And good thing, because she loves shrimp scampi. And Zach did say like he loves doing like active things with her. So as long as they're not communicating, they can have a great time.
Yeah.
But neither one of them has much cooking experience. Like they don't even know how much water to put in the pot for the pasta.
Right.
She like filled it almost to the rim. Then she was seasoning like the sauce, and she put so much on there that it ended up being so spicy to Zach, and it was just fine for her. So they have a little bit of a different palate. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But overall, they had a great time. They're laughing. They're joking. They worked well together in the kitchen. So it was a really good date. I think they definitely needed that.
Yeah. I think they just need to get out of their heads a little bit. Get out of the apartment, even though they were in the apartment for this. But
yeah,
as much as they can, just kind of date each other and try not to like put the expectations on how great like the first night was.
Exactly. So where would you rate them?
I would give them a 3 right now. I think they've worked their way back up to the middle rankings. They at least see that they have these things to address. They seem committed to it. So hoping they can get back there to where we first saw them.
Yeah. The next week we did get a preview of them crying. She was crying, like boohoo crying. And I think even Zach was crying.
Yeah, that's true.
So it made me nervous. But because they were both crying, it could be something they're crying about together.
Well, that's true.
Unless I'm remembering it correctly about him crying. But I'm pretty sure, because it looks like a very emotional scene.
Yeah, it could be totally like unrelated to the conflict with them.
Yeah. But I'll agree. I think they're, I'm also going to say a three. They, you know, until they start to like have more highs than lows in episode, I think there's no way they could be above a three and inching closer to staying married. So we'll see. Anything else from this episode?
I don't think anything else. Yeah, I just enjoyed it and looking forward to next week. But it was nice to see some progression with some of these couples and get to know them a little better and see them all interacting. I always like when they go to a house. I'm not like Mirla. I like a gathering, especially now that we haven't been able to have them so often. So,
right. Like any chance to kind of see people in person is nice when you can do it safely.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, like they have these gorgeous apartments, but it's not really realistic. I feel like that can almost contribute to maybe the honeymoon feeling as well, where you're like, oh, like I don't really have to upkeep this apartment. We don't have to pay for this. Like we're in a high rise. Like it's just, it's going to take like less, you know, real life stress away.
Yeah, so. Very true. Yeah, so there we have it. Episode 9 is in the books. Next week, we looks like we have a pretty interesting episode ahead of us. So looking forward to that. Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me podcasting about Bachelor in Paradise on the Bachelor, Bachelorette podcast feed or the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed where you can find this podcast as well. I do that with Haley Strong. And then you can find me on Twitter at RHAPRecapper.
Nice. And then you can always find me at Asia Like Asia on Twitter. So it's AYSHA like ASIA. I was on the Big Brother 23 Wednesday night episode recap this week. So that was a lot of fun. And then, of course, yeah, join us every week talking about Married at First Sight as we unpack this season and have awesome guests along the way. But until we talk to you again next week, have a great week and we'll see you then. Bye.